Brother Gary, God bless you. Where am I going this morning? Luke chapter 19. We've been preaching through the book of Luke together. We've come to Luke chapter 19. Turn me down just a little bit if you don't mind. Can everybody hear me okay? I know that's a crazy question coming from me, but everybody hear me all right? Too loud? Everything okay there? It is too loud? Okay. Let's turn me down a little bit more. I'll keep talking. Who said amen there? He's also the one who said it's too loud. I think that's conviction is what that is. Yes. I am preaching today on a man named Zacchaeus. My wife told me I just need to give my personal testimony. That's what she told me. That's a true statement. She's here. She looks sweet up there, and she is sweet. You're beautiful, sweetheart. Yes. I like that smile. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. That's funny, Brother Scott. I mean, honestly, that was funny, okay? Yes. Of course, you're kind of funny to look at, to be honest. You know what I mean? Yes. Good to see Eddie Presnell here. God bless you, my friend. After heart surgery, quadruple bypass, I think I'm right by saying that, sitting here in a church service. God bless you for being here. Glad you're here. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. That's the title of my message if you want to mark it, A Man Named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. I swallowed there. I wasn't pausing there on purpose. I was swallowing, but anyway. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You can put out in the margin of your Bible, the heart of God. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture. Let's pray together, and I preach to you on the title, A Man Named Zacchaeus. Father, we love you. Help us today. Please help me to preach with power. Speak to our hearts. And if there is one person here that's lost, may today be the day of salvation. As we preach through books of the Bible, no doubt coming this morning to this passage, you have somebody here in mind. Speak to them and make them realize it's them. And we who are saved, help us to see that we were Zacchaeus. That the day that you spoke to our heart, that it was God who came to be with sinners. We give you glory for that. Thank you, dear Lord, that you came to seek and save that which was lost. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text, we see the Lord Jesus Christ enters and passes through Jericho. No doubt Jericho had been filled with reports concerning the Lord, and great excitement existed among the people. As a matter of fact, God's Word tells us that there was a press of people, a large crowd of people gathered to see and be around the Lord Jesus as he passed by that way. Now, in the midst of this large crowd of people, there was one man named Zacchaeus among them. For some reason, this is the man that God centers our attention on in this text. And in our text, we see Zacchaeus is a little man with a big problem. Throughout these verses, we see invaluable truths brought out for our consideration. In these truths, we can learn some eternal truths that can make the difference between heaven and hell. Now today, I want to encourage you with a couple of things. First of all, if you're lost today, you are Zacchaeus. And in this message, I want to ask you and encourage you to speak to the Lord and ask Him to speak to your heart. May you see yourself in the condition that Zacchaeus was in. Secondly, if you're saved today, which a vast majority in here no doubt are, or at least claim to be, let us see ourselves as Zacchaeus as well. And let us be encouraged in our heart with how the Lord has shown grace to us and mercy to us. That in a time when the world says he or she's not worthy, the Lord passed by our way and he spoke to our hearts and he saved our soul. May we be encouraged with the grace of God is what I'm trying to say. We serve a God of amazing grace. We serve a God with amazing mercy, amazing long-suffering and patience. And he's dealing with people in a miraculous way. The sovereign God of the universe is walking to and fro seeking lost people. And he comes to people's hearts and speaks to them. And in his sovereignty, he's given them a choice to say yes or to say no. You know, really, if God wanted to, he could force people, but he doesn't do that. Because he wants people to choose him. Because they see the grace that he's done in their lives. And today I want to preach to you on this man. I feel good today. My voice is struggling, but I feel the presence of God. Felt him in Sunday school. I feel him up here. Because I know this man Zacchaeus was me. And now I'm on my way to heaven. Not because of what I've done, but because the Lord came to seek and save that which was lost. Let me give you several things about him this morning. Number one, let's notice his summary. Now, I've already read the passage, so I'm just going to give you the verses so you can read them as I give it to you. But in verses 1, 2, and verse 7, we will see a summary of this man, who he was. In this, I want to take a close look at him just to show you who he was, talking about this man, Zacchaeus. Let me give you three things about him. First of all, he was from Jericho. This is found in verse number 1. Now, it's been said that Jericho was a bad city. It's been said that Jericho had been cursed. Now, I'm going somewhere with all this, so just stay with me here. Secondly, the Bible calls him a chief tax collector in verse number 2. What this means is the Romans placed tax centers at all crossroads of travel. So there was one here in this place called Jericho. Now, in these tax centers, would overtax their people to pay for the occupying Roman army and make a profit. Therefore, the Jewish people viewed tax collectors as traitors. In other words, they were Jews, if you will, that had changed sides, and they were now employed by the Roman government. And so these Jewish people, when they saw a tax collector, they saw a traitor in their midst, at least. At least that's how they viewed them. Refusing to let them testify in a court of law or worship in the temple. Tax collectors were alienated from the social and religious life of the nation. Tax collectors were known as being permitted to extract taxes at a rate of his own choosing. In other words, many of these tax collectors were crooks. They were supposed to tax a certain amount, but they were given liberty to go ahead and tax more so they could pocket some of the money. A tax collector, if you will, was hated. They hated tax collectors. Thirdly, he was not only from Jericho and a chief tax collector, but thirdly, he was rich. The Bible calls him this way in verse number 2. It says, he was rich.
This is probably from his extortion. As a result of all this, the people looked at him in verse 7 as a despised sinner. They couldn't stand him. This is why in verse number 7 it says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. But now keep in mind what they're doing here. They're judging him because of what he chose for his life's occupation. And they could not stand this man. They hated this man. From one point of view, get this. He was the worst of sinners, from the worst of cities, with the worst of jobs. That's who he was. On the other point of view, he was a man of power, a man of position, who had all the world could offer. In the eyes of the world, he was successful in what he had, but he was despised for who he was. Everybody understand what I'm saying to you here? He had everything this world had to offer him. He was rich, he had position, he had all of this. But he was the worst of sinners from the worst of cities with the worst of occupations. This is his summary. Secondly, I want to show you his seeking in verses 3 and 4. It's interesting to note that even though he was rich with power and position, in verses 3 and 4, his heart was still not completely content. There was something missing. There was a void that needed to be filled. We see this in verses 3 and 4. See him noticing a large crowd passing by and asking what this large crowd was all about. And the people tell him it was Jesus Christ coming this way, the famous prophet. Zacchaeus' curiosity got the best of him. He just had to see this prophet because he had no doubt heard about him. In a nutshell, we see this great sinner who had a lot of money, but he was despised and rejected. We see this great sinner seeking the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you some things about his seeking here, but let me just make this statement. There may be somebody here who has all the world has to offer. Or there may be some here who has nothing this world has to offer. Someone who may be hated of others, and maybe from a bad part of town, yet others who are maybe from a good part of town and everybody loves you. But nevertheless, whether you have a lot of money or no money, whether everybody loves you or everybody hates you, something inside of you is missing. There's a void. You feel empty. You don't have the peace that the world is searching for. This is this man. He was hated. He was from a bad part of town. He was rich. He had all the money that his heart desired, but there was something inside of him that he knew wasn't right. Could it be that somebody's here today, that you've come to this church service, and there's something inside of you that's missing? Let me give you a couple of things about his seeking. First of all, he sought the right person. We see this in verse number 3 because he was seeking Jesus Christ. This man had everything the world had to offer, money, position, power. He no doubt set his heart on what the world had to give him, but he still felt so empty inside. But now we see his heart seeking not what the world had, but seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Just desiring to get a glimpse of him. Let me say here that his seeking was based on the right person. May I say that all of life he had sought for himself what he could get from that person and get from that person and try to fill the void this way and try to fill the void with that, and maybe he would try this and maybe he would try that. But now he was seeking the Son of God. He was seeking not what he could get, but who the Lord simply was. Little did he know that the one he was seeking was the one he had been looking for all along. You know, Jesus said in John 14, 6, says Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. His seeking was on the right person, but secondly, his seeking had real problems. What I mean by this is found in verse number 3. Even though Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord, he had some things trying to keep him from it. What are some of these things? Well, I'm going to give you two of them here. under this, first of all, the size of the crowd was working against him. See, there were all kinds of people that day who wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus was not the only one who had a desire to see Jesus. He had people, is what I'm trying to say, stand between him and the Lord. You know, here's the point I'm trying to make. There are those today who do not come to Jesus Christ for salvation because of some other person. There are people today who do not come to Christ in salvation because they worry about what a friend's going to say, what a mate's going to say, what a relative's going to say, what a hypocrite's going to say, what their coworkers are going to say. Let me say something to you. The crowd is still a barrier between people and Jesus today. Here's what I'm trying to get across here. I wouldn't let anybody on planet Earth keep me from trusting Jesus Christ. I wouldn't let nobody on planet Earth, and I can't hardly get loud, which I know you like that, but here's the thing. Nobody on planet Earth is worth dying and going to hell for. Nobody is. Nobody is. And by the way, these folks that keep you from trusting Christ as your Savior, listening to me, they're not going to be standing with you at the great white throne judgment. God's not going to say, oh, I understand. You had that person that you were just ashamed to trust me. So that's okay. Come on anyway. It doesn't work that way, friends. What I'm saying to you is that what this man had against him, yes, he was seeking the right person, but in his seeking, he had some real problems. The crowd was standing between him and Christ. Secondly, the size of his body, the stature of his body was something that was working against him. What I mean by that is this. There was a personal problem. Anybody know where I'm going with this? There was a personal problem that was keeping him from getting to Jesus. He was too short. He couldn't see him. He's like me. He had to get up in a sycamore tree or something to be able to see the Lord that day. But the way the Lord spoke to me is even though he was short in stature and he had fallen short in his size of his body, there's still a personal problem with us that keeps us from Jesus too. The Word of God says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just like his short body was working against him, us falling short of the glory of God works against us. May I say it this way? If you go to heaven, it'll be because you're just like God. It means you're perfect. It means at least your account looks like God's. Can I put it that way? You ever heard somebody say this? When you ask them, hey, if you died today, you're going to heaven, they say, I'm doing the best I can. You ever heard that? I remind you, they are, at that moment, they are comparing themselves with themselves, and the Bible says they doing that are not wise. Because God's standard for heaven is not as best as you can. God's standard for heaven is absolute perfection. God's standard for heaven is the glory of God. It's where God's immediate presence exists. And God has separated himself from sin. He cannot dwell with sin. Which means if you go to heaven, it'll be because you are perfect. You are sinless. But the real problem is nobody's perfect. Nobody's just like God. Nobody has attended and has attested and has made it to God's level. If you have sinned one time, you are unworthy of heaven, is what I'm trying to say. Because heaven's a perfect place, and you must be perfect to go. Number one, his seeking was on the right person. Number two, it had real problems. Number three, he had resolved persistence. We see this in verse number four. The Bible says that when he realized his problem, he climbed up into a tree to get a glimpse of the Lord. This little man allowed nothing. Are you listening to me? He didn't allow anything to keep him from seeing Jesus. Now let me say this to you. Jesus is the only one that could correct his problem. Amen. Jesus was the only one that was the answer to this man's sin. But the devil had some obstacles in his way that day. The devil at any moment could have popped up on his shoulder and says, you tried, but look at all these people. Just forget it. The devil could have stopped up and said, listen, God made you short like that. It's his fault. You tried. You can't see him. No. Here's the point I'm trying to get across. This dear man realized that there was somebody passing by that day that he did not want to miss. And he wasn't going to let anything keep him from the source of his life. Are you listening to me? If you're here today and in your heart you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the devil will throw up all kinds of excuses to you. Look at the size of this crowd. Don't embarrass yourself. May I say this to you? You're among friends. You're among people who love you, and you're among people who are lost just like you. And those who trust Christ, if anybody's heart is right with God, their heart will leap with you and love on you and congratulate you. It's the best decision you've ever made in your life. But the devil will try to give you every kind of excuse. What about that? What about this? No, you've got all the time in the world. Just go ahead and do this first. Go ahead and do this first, and then give Jesus your life. Hey, let me tell you something. Listen to me, please. We're not saved by works. I understand all that, but I'm telling you something, my friends. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart and you resist Him, the Word of God says that you have limited the Holy Spirit of God. You resist Him. If you resist Him, it's up to Him if He ever speaks to your heart again. And may I say, you can't be saved anytime you want to be. You can be saved when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you of your sin through the preaching of the Word of God, draws you to Calvary. By the way, Jesus has drawn the world to Calvary. And He takes the Word of God and pierces your heart and says, "You need me. You need me. You need me." At that moment, the devil says, "What about the crowd? What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this?" Learn from Zacchaeus. Don't let any of this keep you from Jesus Christ. Number one, we notice his summary. Number two, his seeking. Number three, let me give you his salvation. This is found in verses 5 through 9. Now, in this point of the story, we see our great salvation through Jesus Christ put on display. Now, what I'm getting ready to share with you could mean the difference between heaven and hell. So pay close attention. First of all, Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was. Jesus came to Zacchaeus. Verse number 5, we see this. The Lord Jesus could have gone any way He wanted that day. Yet He chose to go to the place where a sinner was seeking Him. When Zacchaeus could not get to the Lord came to him. You know, in the same way, Jesus Christ has left the portals of glory some 2,000 years ago to come to us in order that He might bring us to Himself. I've put it this way: He came so we can go. He came so we can go. Here's the point I'm trying to make to you. You cannot save yourself. There's no amount of good works that you can do to justify your condemned soul before God. Because again, one sin is worthy of eternal separation from God. One sin is enough to condemn you to death for all eternity. So the best you can do is not good enough. God knew that man in his own righteousness could never get to God. So God came to man. This is the virgin birth. This is the substitutionary death. This is why He came. Isaiah 7:14, "For behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for us, hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Ephesians 2:11-13 says this, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, the flesh made by hands, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now God in Christ Jesus But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In other words, God's saying this, in time past you were aliens. You were strangers. I didn't know you. You were separated. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This means that God knew we could never make it to Him on our own. So He sent His Son to die for us. This is so basic it's ridiculous, and I know that, but don't ever get over that Jesus came to you. He came to us so that we can go to Him. Secondly, under this is all His salvation. Jesus came to where He was. Secondly, Jesus considered Zacchaeus. We see this in verse number 5. The Word of God tells us that the Lord came to that tree. Notice it now. He stopped. He looked up. And He saw Zacchaeus. This all tells us that the Lord took time for this man. He stopped on His busy road and took time to consider one man who was searching for meaning. Oh, how we see the heart of God in this. When the crowd saw Zacchaeus as a terrible sinner, Christ saw him as a lost, seeking sinner who was wanting something that only He could give him. He knew all there was to know about Zacchaeus, but He stopped anyway. He knew all there was to know about Zacchaeus, but He loved him anyway. He knew all there was to know about Zacchaeus, but He wanted to save him anyway. May I say this, when the world around him didn't have the time of day for him, the Son of God stopped to consider him. Throughout Scripture, we see the Lord taking time and making time to consider individuals. The blind man, the woman taken in adultery, the maniac of Gadara. You know, in the same way, the Lord Jesus is considering you today. The Lord knows all about you. And may I say that no matter how bad it is, or maybe how good you think it is, especially how bad you think it is, no matter how bad it is, He still loves you. And He's looking at you. And He wants to save your soul. Will you come to Him today? Jesus came to him. Jesus considered him. Number 3, Jesus called Zacchaeus to Himself. We see this in verse 5. The Lord lifts His voice and speaks to Zacchaeus to come down because he was going home with him. Can you imagine Zacchaeus at that moment? Here is Zacchaeus just wanting to see the Lord. Who is this great prophet? And all of a sudden the Lord stops under that tree where Zacchaeus is. Can you see him there? He stops. And he looks up at him and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. For today I must abide with you at your house. These words, I must, shows that he was bringing Zacchaeus to a divine appointment with salvation. He was calling him and telling him, I must go home with you. He was calling him to himself. May I tell you, this was a gracious call. Because he called this man's name. The Lord could have passed by him, but he didn't. This man was a sinner and worthy to die, but God called him anyway. That's grace. It was an urgent call because if you'll notice in your Bible there, especially if you have a Scofield Reference Bible, notice the date at the top center column. What is it? It's A.D. 33, am I correct? You know what that tells me? This could have been the only chance that this man had to make this decision. Because the Lord is on His way to Calvary. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, vanisheth away. Here's what I'm saying. God wanted to dwell with him. Would he come down from the tree? God said, I want to dwell with you. Will he come? Will he come? Now, did God go up there and drag him out of the tree? No. Let me give you some things here. Number four, Jesus called Zacchaeus, but number four, Zacchaeus committed to God's word. We see this in verse 6. Zacchaeus believed what Jesus told him. Zacchaeus came down and received him. Here's what I'm saying. Zacchaeus turned to the Lord. That's what he did. You know, in the same way, if you're going to ever be saved, you must believe what God has said in his word. And you must turn towards Jesus Christ. The word of God says in Acts 26:20, repent and turn to God. This was not some half-hearted decision, is what I'm trying to say. He didn't have one leg in a tree and one on the ground. He came all the way out of the tree and he committed himself to Jesus Christ. Number five, he confessed Christ as Lord. This is found in verse 8. If you'll notice that in verse number 8, he not only committed to his word, he confessed him as Lord. And the word of God teaches us, matter of fact, I'll read verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He calls him Lord here. He's confessing Christ, you are Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you listening to me? There's no salvation without claiming Jesus as Lord. I'm talking about he is who he says he is. You cannot come to God and ask Jesus to forgive your sin and not believe he's the Son of God, friends, is what I'm trying to say. You must believe he is the sacrifice for sin. He is the Lord of glory. He is deity. He is God come in human flesh. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. That's a fundamental, a basic fundamental of our faith. So we see here that the Lord came to him. The Lord considered him. He stopped to look at him. He called out to him. And then when Zacchaeus realized that Jesus is there for him, Jesus is calling him, Jesus is considering him, Zacchaeus believed the word of God. Zacchaeus confessed him as Lord. And then number six, Jesus changed his life, friends. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse number 8. What he said he's going to do. We see in this verse that Bible salvation brought a change to Zacchaeus' life. There will be evidence. Here's what I'm saying. There will be evidence of a true, repentant, receptive heart. God, no question, is sick of people who just pray a prayer, but they don't mean it. They're just trying God out. They're just going to say, well, I'll give Jesus a whirl. Are you listening to me? That is not Bible salvation. Bible salvation is understanding that you are lost and on your way to hell. And in your own strength, your own good works, you will never be good enough for heaven, because if you've sinned once, it's over with. But Jesus came to do what you could never do. He came and died for you. He died for your sin. And by faith you realize that him in his word, he's calling out to you. Whosoever will may come. He's considering you. He is calling out to you. And at that moment he simply says, believe and receive. And when you turn to Jesus Christ and believe on the Lamb of God, when you mean business with this, you're not playing games. The Holy Spirit of God has convicted you, and you have trusted Christ as your Savior. If you got saved, he has changed your life. I'm not saying that there will be a hundredfold, but there will be some fruit. There will be some fruit in every child of God's life. And if you say, well, I was saved as a kid, but I don't want anything to do with God, I don't want anything to do with his church, I don't want anything to do with these people, I don't want anything to do with the Word of God, if I know anything about the Bible, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Now, I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt. God knows that, but don't settle for anything less than the new birth. Has there been a change in your life? Here's what he said. He said, half of my goods I give to the poor. In this, we see evidence of transformation. The taker became a giver. He said, I'm going to restore him fourfold. You know what this was? This was the amount that was required in the Jewish law when a sheep had been stolen and a man was convicted of the theft by trial. If he confessed it himself without being detected and tried, he had only to restore what was stolen. In other words, if he confesses himself, I'm guilty, all he had to do was give back what he stole. But when he said, I'm going to give it back fourfold, he was saying this, I am guilty and I'm going to give it just like I went to trial and I was found a convicted thief. You know what he's saying? He is saying, God has changed my life. I mean, all my life I was a taker, but Jesus, let me tell you, you've saved me and I don't want to take anymore. I want to give it back. I'm going to give it all back. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ changes people, friends. He changes people. Only a destructive, violent robbery required what Zacchaeus was saying he's going to do. Only if he was destructive and violent, and he's saying, here's how bad I was, and this is why I want to restore it fourfold. He's renouncing his old life of sin. He's embracing new life in Christ. We cannot suppose that this had been always his practice. For no man would wantonly extort money from another and then restore him at once four times as much. But it means he was made sensible of his guilt. Perhaps that his mind had been a considerable time perplexed in this matter, and now he was resolved to make restoration because Jesus stopped for him. Jesus considered him and called him. He committed to Christ, confessed him as Lord, and Jesus changed his life. I end this with verse number 9 saying that Jesus confirmed his new birth. We see this. Jesus said salvation had come to that house. And Jesus said he's now a son of who? Abraham. In these statements he was telling Zacchaeus, you are now a child of God. You know what's good? When you have assurance from the Word of God that you are in the family of God. By the way, only the Word of God can give you that assurance. I can't give you that assurance. You can't give yourself that assurance. Only the Word of God can. Galatians 3:9, so they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In all of this we see the Lord confirming to Zacchaeus he is in the family, not by works, but by faith. We need to get our assurance from God and His holy word. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Based on your faith, and evidence thereof in your life, can you receive the same confirmation from Jesus Christ? Can you take a Bible and prove that you are a son of the living God? We've noticed several things about this man. And when the world tells you that you're no good, the Lord stops, considers and calls, and says, come down, for I must abide with you at your house. Luke 19:10, Jesus summarized the story by saying, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So in a nutshell, here's what the Lord is saying. This man seeking, this man's desire for me, this man's eventually changed life is only possible because he, as the Son of God, made it possible. So if you're lost today, I highly recommend the Lord to you. He's been a wonderful Savior. If you are saved today, see yourself as Zacchaeus, rejoicing in what the Lord has done in your heart. And on top of that, may we be challenged to follow His example in taking time to consider sinners, telling them about the gracious God who loves them and wants to change their life. A man named Zacchaeus. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love You today. I pray that You'll help us as we have studied the life of this man in the book of Luke. This man named Zacchaeus. We've noticed his summary. We have noticed his seeking, the gospel there, and we've noticed his salvation, how You saved and changed his life. Lord, I thank You that I recognize myself as Zacchaeus. I too had a void in my life that only You could fill. Thank You for filling that void. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. We have two types of people here today. We have those who have trusted Christ and those who have not. I want to ask you this question. How many of you know for sure? You don't hope so, you don't think so, but you know that there's been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ. You believed His word. You turned to Jesus Christ. And you know there's been a change. You know there's been a change. I'm not asking how much of a change, but at least you know there's been a change. Have you know that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Just be honest. God is watching you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being able to raise your hand. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? Amen, friends. Isn't that good? There were some of you who couldn't raise your hand. And I trust that means that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you. Have you say, Jody, I'm being honest today. I could not raise my hand to that. But I want to go a step further and say, I sure wish I could. Understand what I'm asking? If you're sitting there today and you could not raise your hand to that and you don't really care about it, then I just need to pray that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. But if you today say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that, but in my heart, I sure wish I could. I'd like to put my head on my pillow tonight knowing for sure that heaven is my home. I don't know that, but I'd like to. I really would. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? You're among friends now. We're here to help you. God bless you. Somebody else. You say, pray for me. I don't see a change in my life, or whatever the case may be. You say, pray for me. Anybody else along with this one? Just put it up, put it right back down. Anybody at all? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody just say, I wish I could raise my hand to this. I really do. If you raised your hand to that question, I'd like to ask you to do me a favor. Would you do it? I want you to lift your eyes and look right up here at me. Would you do that? I'm going to tell you something. The Lord loves you. He really does. I don't know about your life. I realize you may be doubting. You may just be struggling with assurance. But a preacher through a struggling voice is looking at you and letting you know that there was a day that if a preacher asked me that, I'd have to look at him too. I don't have to do that anymore because the Lord saved me. He wants to do the same for you. You're among friends here. You're not among enemies. You're among people who could raise their hand who one time couldn't raise their hand. And I'm letting you know that the God of the universe sent His Son to this earth so you could go to heaven. We'd like to take a man and a lady. lady with a lady, a man with a man. Open the Bible and share with you the gospel. There's no pressure in this. As far as you must do this, no. We want to introduce you to Him, and then it's your decision. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's your decision. In just a moment, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have what we call an invitation. It's exactly what it sounds like. We're inviting you to Christ. I'm going to come right down here. If you mean business about this, you're not playing games. Then as soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, I want you to step out and come. I'll meet you right here. We'll help you. If you mean business now, okay? Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary, begin to sing, if you don't mind. Step out now. Would you do that? Come,
come.
It's up to you. Try to force you to do anything against your will. It's between you and the Lord, okay? Between you and the Lord. We'd like to help you. We'd like to help you. We'd like to help you. Standing, I'd like you to look this way, would you please? You know, the Lord knows what He's doing. He really does. What I'm doing most in here is just preaching through books. And I'm preaching through books here. This is just my next sermon in the book of Luke. It's a salvation message. But we're just preaching through books. We've had two or three people respond because they need to be saved. It's a blessing, isn't it? You know, the Lord tenderly deals with me. Here I am today, I can't even lift my voice. I can't get as loud as I typically do. God has taken His word and He's used it. See, it's not the preacher's voice. It's not the preacher's style. It's not how loud he is or how soft he gets. It's the Holy Spirit of God that takes His word, penetrates the hearts of people. Could it be that this is God's reminder to me that He doesn't need me, but it's my privilege to lift the voice I have. Say, thus saith the Lord. Don't settle for anything less than the new birth. Don't settle for it. And if you are saved, do you see yourself as Zacchaeus? You were Zacchaeus. God came to you. You didn't go to Him. He came to you. God considered you. He called your name. He died for your sin. He asked you to come down. And when you took Him at His word, He took you in and changed your life. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. What we're going to do is to give folks time. I don't want anybody feeling pressure. We're going to give them time. So what we're going to do is sing one more verse. nobody else comes, this will be it. We'll close in prayer, and I'll ask you to quietly move out as we're dealing with people, but there's still time for you. There's still time for you. Let's bow our heads one more time, close our eyes. Brother Gary, just one more verse. If nobody else comes, this will be it.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
Still time for you.
Wilt
come on. Come talk to God.
And cleanse, relief.
Don't settle for anything less.
Because thy promise.
Don't settle for anything. Play through, let me just give you one announcement. We're going to pray and go, and I'm going to ask you to quietly move outside here as we're dealing with folks' salvation. The announcement I have to make: next Sunday morning, all month long, starting next Sunday, we're taking a special mission offering. Not a dime of it's going to stay here. This is above your tithe, above your all, I'm talking about above your faith promise. You pray. God leads you to give, you give.